We still do 7 NUFC Matters show a week for free. But if you want to help support NUFC Matters, then there are a few ways of doing it. Hit the like button on each live broadcast and video. This helps the channel grow. Hit the subscribe button and select the all notifications bell so you don't miss a single show. If you want to help us financially, then you can join the channel using this button with the membership starting at $1.99 a month. Or you can drop us a donation in the chat using a super sticker. We're also looking for sponsors. If you'd like your brand advertised on the flyers for the show and featured during the ad break, then email John at nufcmatters.com to arrange today. Good afternoon, welcome to NUFC Matters, Super Matt and Gibbo on a Thursday, slightly earlier, but we are here, lads, all together. How are you?
All right, Steve, yes.
Yeah. Just recovering from last night's
sleep. Does the evening show take you past your bedtime, Steve?
It does, yeah, yeah. I need my beauty sleep, lads, as you can tell. Plenty to talk about, yeah, and let's get straight into it. Malcolm John's already mentioned it, getting over last night, he said. Disappointing that last night, you know, especially after the Spurs game. It almost felt like the, you know, the 10, 11 days that we had off didn't work in our favour.
It certainly didn't, no. Give credit to Crystal Palace. I thought they were exceedingly lively. They've now won three games on the bounce, where prior to that, their form has been very, very patchy indeed. But it seems that they're just getting it all together. And who knows, they may be a force next season, because they did look strong last night, but Newcastle, oh my word, at the back, I thought we looked absolutely appalling at times. It was one of those defensive performances that, as a centre forward, you think, oh, I just want to get in the middle of that. And I think their big fella did. And, of course, he finished up getting a couple of goals. And then at the other end, Palace seemed really organised in their back line. And we never got a shot at goal. I cannot remember their keeper having to make a save all evening. Yeah, is that right, John?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was so disappointed. Mm. So much went wrong. We went in the game, we got 10 points out of 12. I was keep saying, look, the old Joe Harvey line, let them worry about us, not us worry about them. We are on the roll, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing the other. But and there's a famous phrase in football, it's not just about losing, but how you lose. And we lost with no, we were tepid, we were timid. I thought my attitude was questionable. And it's not often you've said that about Newcastle, that the attitude was questionable. But if you were dropped in from outer space and were told one team had something to play for and the other didn't, you would think Crystal Palace were the team that were playing for Europe and we were the mid-table team that weren't going to go down and weren't going to get into Europe. So we had nothing to play for. I mean, we had everything to play for. They had nothing to play for bar pride, but they played for their pride. We just didn't get out the blocks. I mean, it's got to be said that, for me, Eddie Howe rightfully got praised for terrific and innovative tactics against Spurs when he went man for man at the back and he played Kraft in his three-man, three central defenders, and he played Murphy as a wing-back three, etc., etc. That was terrific against Spurs, who played a very high line, knocked the ball in behind them, loads of grass, our front three, quick as it's possible to be, onto it and causing mayhem. Crystal, he decided to stick with that. And with hindsight, it didn't work. And when I got the team, I was apprehensive when I saw that, because Crystal Palace don't play like Spurs. They don't play a high line. There's not acres of space behind them. You know, going man for man. It didn't work. And I thought Murphy and Kraft, who were playing not in their recognised positions, Kraft's a right back who was playing right centre-half, and Murphy's a winger who was playing either as a wing-back or a right-back, depending who had the ball, both had poor games. And I think the experiment that was, if we are going to say the experiment was absolutely terrific and innovative and a touch of genius against Spurs, we've equally got to say exactly the same tactic did not work at Crystal Palace. Didn't work at all. But having said that, it wasn't the only part of our game that didn't work. I had spent time in the paper, guys, going on about the best three front people we've got, because they can all score goals and they're all quicker, is Isaac, Gordon, and Barnes. To be truthful, they had the best two players on the pitch. Eze, who's got terrific, he played 10 in the way he should play 10, and Mateta, on the night, not over the season, on the night, Eze did better than Gordon, and Mateta did better than Isaac. Our two stars. On the night, they did better. Eze's got terrific feet. What a good player he is. And he played 10 very, very well. But we just sacrificed space all over the park. And what worried me, and I come back to it again, was not just losing, but the manner in which we lost. We didn't compete. We were tepid. We didn't play front foot. We didn't play with courage. We didn't play as if we had something to play for. And we did have something to play for. And you know what's worrying, guys, for me, and, you know, I'm not getting all sort of morbid after 10 points out of 12 on one defeat. But what bothers me, that defeat emphasised how poor we are away from home. We've lost 10 out of 16 in the Premier League away games this season. That's phenomenal, you know. We've lost 10 out of 16. And this is the worry. Three of our remaining five are away from home. So we aren't going to make Europe at home by getting results against Sheffield United and against Brighton, although we've got to get 6 points here. What's going to decide whether we get into Europe or not is what we do at Burnley, at Manchester United and at Brentford, because we've lost 10 out of 16.
Yeah,
very disappointing, it has to be said. And, you know, it's football, though. You have a game, you lose it, you move on to the next game, and that's the way Newcastle have got to treat it. We'll be looking ahead to Sheffield United very soon. I'm going to take a few of your questions in the chat. Thanks to Krista Johnson, who's joined the channel as a member, and thanks to Trolls for renewing your membership. Much appreciated. Sean Longstaff, getting a bit of stick, Malcolm. You know, you've got to know the Longstaffs well with your North Shields connections. But yeah, Stephen Kennedy says, Is it just me, or does Sean Longstaff go down easily 5 or 6 times a game, needs to show some strength, stay on his feet, or does he lack confidence in his own ability? We know he's been playing with an injury, Mal. Should have had a penalty last night. It could be claimed. VAR, controversial decision again. But yeah, Longstaff, he seems to be the boo boy's favourite at the moment.
Yeah, I thought it was a penalty. And he didn't give me a feeling that he had... he'd helped himself to go down. I thought that the fella, in the way that he grabbed him, it just turned Sean enough for him to lose his footing. And We weren't going to get anything last night, I don't think. But generally, he's really hasn't been showing his old self from last season. You know, last season he was covering sort of a huge amount of mileage every 90 minutes. He's not quite doing that same mileage, but he's not getting. He's not there in support like he used to be, and he was getting hundreds of touches every game almost, because he was always right there in support wherever the ball went, and that's not quite happening as such. And I thought it was I thought Bruno did well, but I thought generally the midfield that they really weren't getting a grip on the game last night. The game was going on around them very much so.
What was your thoughts on the penalty shout, John?
I think it could easily have been given, and I've seen them given, and there was a tug on him. But, you know, I take the point the previous guy was asking about with Sean. I mean, players now, some players, if somebody opens the door and there's a bit of a slight breeze, they fall to the ground, like, in the hope that they'll get something. I mean, an old-type centre-forward, Malcolm McDonald, Alan Shearer, etc., Aguero at Man City, would just push him off and stick the ball in the back of the net. Now, if you feel the slight, and not just Sean, other players as well, if you feel the slightest touch on you, you go down like a bag of coals in the hope that you get the penalty. And I think it could have been a penalty quite easily, but I don't want to hide behind the fact that we didn't get a penalty, because we deserved what we got last night, which is nothing. We deserved to lose. And you know, it would be a ready-made excuse for us to be able to say, oh, well, if the referee had given us a penalty, it would have been a different game. We would have come away with the result. And that would be hiding from a lot of facts, which, you know, we didn't like. The biggest thing with me, I looked at the Spurs game, guys, and I honestly thought to myself, there's not one player on this pitch I could say had a bad game for Newcastle United against Spurs. And I felt last night there wasn't one player on the pitch I could say was outstanding for Newcastle United. No. They were all below par, but some were more below par than others. But I didn't think we had a weakness against Spurs. I didn't think we had a star last night. I thought we were very, very, very poor. And if I was Eddie, I would be worried about, you know, I don't think the answer is going out onto the pitch and tactically or whatever. With hindsight, the tactics weren't right last night, but that isn't the problem. The main problem is in between the ears. The main problem is sitting them down and saying, do you want this? Do you want to be in Europe next season? Because produce another performance like last night. We've got five games left. Produce one more performance like last night, we lose it, and then we don't go into Europe. There's no question about that. And we're not playing good sides. We're not playing any great side we want to be scared of in the next five games. So it's still there for us. We can still get above Man U because they're so awful. I mean, dear me, they've capitulated in the last two games and got away with it. I mean, they let three goals in 20 minutes against Coventry in the Championship. And then they allowed Sheffield United, the worst side in the Premier League, to lead 1-0 and 2-1 at their place. I mean, dear, we talk about our Bruno, how much the fans love Bruno. Their Bruno, Bruno Fernandes, without him, they would be in a relegation fight. I mean, he looks as if he's like the world's smack bum. But I tell you what, he pulls them up by the bootlaces time and time again. And they only won last night because of their Bruno. If we like our Bruno, their fans must like their Bruno. But they're takeable and we can catch them. They've got another relatively so-called easy game home to Burnley when we are at home to Sheffield United. But after that, they've got a few difficult games. And the killer game will be when we go to Old Trafford. If we overtake them, we've got to win at Old Trafford. And I come back to the fact that Eddie's problem, I think, is not tactically to tweak him or to say, let's get tight end defense and all that sort of thing. He's got to sit them. For me, the best work Eddie will do between the final whistle last night and the first whistle on Saturday afternoon is what he does in the dressing room with them all sitting around, him standing in the middle and telling them what the score is and reminding them what they can do and saying, do you really want it or do you not want it? Do you care or if you don't care? And anybody that doesn't care or thinks we can't do it, stick your hand up in the air because I want to know and you'll not be here next season. Because we have got it. It is mental as much as it's physical. I was alarmed by how tepid we were last night. I mean, you know the famous phrase, Malcolm, that everybody used to say, it's an end-of-season game. Well, for us, it looked like an end-of-season game. Not for him.
Yeah.
But for us, it did, Malcolm. It looked like an end-of-season game for us. And we are not at the end of the season. This is, I tell you, if we get into Europe and we've got into two quarterfinals of the domestic cups, with all the injuries we've had, etc., it will be said that was still a good season after being fourth top and playing at Wembley. That was still a good season. We made Europe, we made the quarterfinals, the FA Cup, the League Cup, etc. If we don't get into Europe, it'll be looked upon as a season of failure.
And absolutely, it's all boiling down. Well,
it's boiling down to five games, Malcolm. Five games. Do they want it or do they not? I never thought I would ask that question of Newcastle United. But last night, I was sitting and asking myself, do they want this enough?
Yeah.
Palace did.
Yeah, John, I was sat with a friend of mine and we were saying exactly the same thing. You know, it was almost as if they were keeping themselves for Saturday, you know, and not fully putting it in last night.
No, they wanted it more than we did. And all I can say is I'm off glad Ulisse didn't play as well.
Yeah.
Because you know, he's got a fragile body and he's injury prone, and obviously they weren't wanting to exert him too hard because they want him to be fit during the summer for next season. But if Alicia played alongside Eze and Matete, we could have been in big, big trouble because we didn't turn up. In so many of our big hitters, like our front three, and Bruno and Shaw spraying it about, and Anderson, the way he's playing, so many of our big hitters didn't turn up, did they?
No.
I think this question's probably perfect. And Lee says, Malcolm, John, Malcolm, you were once a manager. Can you explain to me how Newcastle can turn up at Villa Park, which is an absolute fortress this season, and score three, but go to Luton, Bournemouth and Palace and barely hit the target? I mean, is it mental, like John's saying, do you think, Malcolm? Is it a lockdown of the mental side of the game?
$64,000 question. In fact, you could add a few noughts onto that because, but it's something that happens on a regular basis in football, you know, and it goes from one side to another. And there really is no explanation. And then you look at Manchester City, who hit standards every single game. Why are they hitting those standards? Why aren't they having the off day that everybody else seems to suffer? Liverpool as well. They've suffered just recently. I really wish I knew the answer, because if I did, I'd make a fortune with it.
The interesting thing, Malcolm, is every time we seem to cross the Tyne Bridge, we get a nosebleed. I mean, we've lost 10 out of 16. We've lost 10 out of 16 away, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just an absolute nonsense. And yes, before Crystal Palace, we won our last away game at Fulham. But if you remember, we got slaughtered first half at Fulham, stuck in, and then managed a 1-0 win. Now, no doubt last night, Eddie, when he got them in at half-time, would privately be thinking, well, I've got them in, I can talk to them, I can rally the troops, and this can be another Fulham. we had a bad first half at Fulham, we had a bad first half at Palace. We still went in 0-0, we still went in 0-0. I get them in, I talk to them, they go out, they're much better, we win 1-0. That's what he would be looking for last night. But we fell away and were worse in the second half. And, you know, we got what we deserved. And what frightens me is because of that happening and me just thinking, oh, another away thing, I looked at the record book and it confirmed my worst fears. 10 defeats out of 16. And we're going for Europe. I mean, that tells you how much of a home side we are. We're going for Europe and we've lost 10 out of 16 away.
Sure. And John, if Newcastle get into Europe, that's pretty much two games every week of the whole season. And I just get the feeling at times that that some players, they're not up to two games a week, which amazes me, staggers me. I used to love two games a week. I'd much rather that than be out in the training ground.
Absolutely. But
they're not giving me that impression these days sometimes.
Bear with us, lads. I've got to go to the door. I've got a parcel being collected. So talk amongst yourselves. Don't panic, John. I'm not going away for long.
Well, at least we can call you all sorts.
He's given his...
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I look at it and, of course, it's worrying. And why it's worrying, all those defeats on the road, is that three of the remaining five games are away. Away to Burnley, away to Man U, and away to Brentford. Now, we've got to do better than all those defeats because they are the three games that, Malcolm, for me, that'll decide Europe. We'll beat Sheffield United. We have to beat Brighton. But yes, at home, with 50,000, the way we played against Spurs, etc., we can win those two home games. But that won't get win to Europe unless we pick up some points from those three away games.
Yeah.
And really, because of what happened last night, and bearing in mind we could draw a couple, really, Malcolm, we've got to be unbeaten in those five games left. We've got to be unbeaten,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, John, I would agree with you. And I think out of those five games, that's 15 points that's at stake. And I think that we have to come out of it with a minimum of 12.
Yes.
And that is winning four of those five games.
Yes, and we've got to make certain that if we're wanting to be sixth, and I know we can perhaps get in the Conference League from seven, but we would prefer to be six and a bit better than that, then we've got to get a result of Man U. That's important as well. I mean, you know, it's important that we go. And the way they're playing.
Yeah, I think don't get beat at Man United has got to
We can't give them the 3 points, so would be out of sight. And the way they're playing, they're awful. They really are awful. But what I've also said, Malcolm, to be truthful, is that if you have an absolutely diabolical display like last night, if you do a belly flop off the high dive board as we did last night, what do you need to get you going again? You need to play Sheffield United. That's the one thing that is consolation to me, because they abuse the privilege of being off. So, I mean, if you don't beat Sheffield United, then you're definitely not in Europe.
Sure. And one thing that I really do not want to see, and that is a sort of bit of apathy where, oh, well, we beat the mate earlier in the season. You know, we only have to show up to win the game. And that's not the case because time
Steve's
and again, I've seen...
Steve's
seen
going up and down there like Newcastle United in the Premier League table. I mean, we've talked about our yo-yo club. He's a yo-yo there. He's been up and down and round about. And you've got your parcel, Steve, obviously.
I was getting rid of a parcel, but I mean, it's a bit of a boring story for those people watching. But if you're sending a parcel from home, it's difficult to check the weight. And I sent a parcel a couple of days ago and it was overweight. So they brought it back. So now I've had to separate the parcel that I was posting. So now I've had to separate it into two different parcels. So anyway, yeah,
You weren't parceling off 3 points to Eddie Howe there, were you?
No, I wasn't posting Sean Longstaff anywhere before. There you see Mark Byers. I knew he would come in with it. I hope that's Sean Longstaff and Steve Doe collecting a parcel containing the book on how to stay on your feet in a football match. Dear me. See, he's getting in the neck, poor Sean. I heard you talking about Sheffield United there. Let's talk about Sheffield United, lads. And I heard what you said there, Malcolm, about Newcastle going down there and winning 8-0. But Sheffield United are relegated now. And I tell you what I saw last night from the highlights was a team who's just given it a go. This is what happens. Remember when Newcastle got relegated, Malcolm, and the beat Spurs 5-1 at home with 10 men?
That's right. That's right. I always remember back when I was a lad. And I used to go and support Fulham. And there used to be two games over Christmas. And on Christmas morning, I went to Craven Cottage and I saw Fulham beat Ipswich 10-1. And on the Boxing Day, they were playing the reverse fixture. So Fulham were over at Ipswich. And they got beat 4-2.
Wow.
And I thought, but having won 10-1, how on earth do they suddenly lose 4-2 against the same side? And I couldn't get it worked out in my head at all. But of course, these things that they happen. But I just wonder whether, having had that big result, you go with a lot of complacency, thinking it's going to be that easy.
Hey, don't take away the last plank I'm standing on here, Malcolm, because don't pull that out from under my feet. I mean, the thing that makes me happy is the next match. And no team could be complacent after the way they played last night. But can I just make this point here? Can, before we get all twitchy, because us Geordies do that, you know, we're marching on Europe one day, and we're in the depths of despair the next. Let me tell you about Sheffield United. The bottom of the league. They've won 3 games out of 34 this season. They've conceded the most goals in the Premier League this season. 92, which is worse than Derby County, who had the previous record, and they've still got 4 games to play. They've scored the least goals, 33, including the 2 that were gifted last night by Manchester United's red-faced Devils. So they've won 3 out of 34, the bottom of the table. They've let in the most goals. They've scored the least goals. They've been relegated all season. They've let in 4s, 5s and 6s all season. We went down there and scored 8, and we're hopeless away from home, by the way. We've lost 10 out of 16 away from home, but we won 8-0 there. This team is awful. It is one of the worst Premier League sides ever. One of the worst was that Derby County side that let in all the goals.
Yes.
By the way, they got a 1-0 and 2-1 lead given to them at Old Trafford, and what happened by the end of the game? They'd still let in 4. Against a hopeless Manchester United side who's supposed to be going to get their manager the sack. So that's how good Sheffield United are. I mean, honest to goodness, if we don't beat Sheffield United comfortably at home, then I'm not going to watch the last 4 games of the season because it'll be pointless. They are awful. The only bit of luck we've got is that they are next up. Because if ever you've got a chance of reversing what happened last night. And by the way, when we beat them comfortably, that doesn't mean that everything's okay again and we're back in Europe and this, that and the other, because this is the free hit. This is the free hit. We've still got to then go to Burnley and Manchester United and Brentford and home to Brighton and get results. We can still miss Europe. It won't put us right because we actually managed to beat the worst side in Premier League history.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, after last night, perhaps that's given Eddie Howe the perfect opportunity to get in the dressing room and read the riot act.
Yeah.
And let's see how they respond. And
yeah.
Because
what I found interesting, Malcolm.
Sorry, John.
What I found interesting is Eddie's straight baton pad, isn't he? Eddie's very diplomatic. He's straight baton pad. Yeah, he doesn't give much away, etc., etc. But he talked after the game last night. He mentioned the word attitude. He questioned Newcastle's attitude, and he says he was bamboozled. He couldn't answer what went wrong with him. This is as critical as I've heard Eddie to be in public. Yes. I mean, might well be in private, but in public, for the first time, he actually questioned his own players. So, and that's not his style. So that's how disappointing he was.
And if he says it in interview, John, then he can go an awful lot stronger than that in the dressing room.
Of course you can. And that's what I said. Malcolm, that's why I said it's for me between last night and 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's not so much what to do on the training field, it's what he says in the dressing room.
Yes, yes. And the reaction that he is able to get from the players come Saturday afternoon.
Okay, yeah, we are halfway through the show. We will come back with predictions in the second half, but here are some. Big thanks to all our sponsors, Skips and Bins. Telephone 0800 25 45 25 3. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com. Website skipsandbins.com. Easy contract free and pay-as-you-go waste collection. Thanks to Mr. Vicky's Sauces, handmade in Cumbria. Their website, mrvickys.co.uk. Telephone 01768 210102. Or email info@mrvickys.co.uk. Thanks to United Group Travel. There are no strangers on our tours, just friends you haven't met yet. Their website, unitedgrouptravel.com. Email beverly.ugtl@gmail.com. Telephone 01670 632 460 or mobile 0791 666 4174. Thanks to Media Arts for the technical side of things. And you can also find us as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or other podcast providers. You can subscribe to the channel by hitting the subscribe button underneath this video. Hit the all notifications bell so you don't miss a show. Hit the thumb up to like the channel and click share to your social media. If you want to join the channel, then click join for as little as $1.99 a month. If you want to become a member, for a one-off £25 payment, email john@nufcmatters.com or go to membership at the website nufcmatters.com. If you've got a smartphone, hold your camera over the QR code and it'll take you straight there. We also help the food bank on this channel. Go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk to the match day bucket and you can leave a virtual donation today. And don't forget the end of season due, 20th of July, 5 o'clock till late. Super Matt and Gibbo and George going to be on stage alongside the Long Sands and Aid of Dementia Matters. Tickets are £10 available from newcastlelegends.com and nufcmatters.com. Should be a cracking night. Lads, just want to ask you about Andy Cole, inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame this week. I had the pleasure of speaking to Andy for something that I'm a project I'm doing earlier on in the week, actually, on the day that he was announced. So I got the chance to congratulate him myself. But yeah, Malcolm, where does he stand in do you think, as far as Newcastle strikers are concerned? I was looking back through his record before I spoke to him this week, and he's only at the club. You forget he was only at the club a short period of time, but quite an explosive period that he had at Newcastle, of course. And 70 appearances, Malcolm, 55 goals in the number 9 shirt.
Yeah, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And one season, he was into the 40s, wasn't he?
He broke Huey Gallagher's record.
Quite amazing.
And by the way, when you scored 41 goals, Malcolm, there wasn't a penalty or a free kick in the goals. You know how there was no penalties and no free kicks.
All from open play.
Phenomenal.
Fantastic.
Right?
Well, that deserves reward of some kind, without a doubt. And well done him. Well done. He can come and stand next to me in that Hall of Fame. He scored all those goals, but he was also a very exciting player to watch, wasn't he? Generally, in the game, I thought.
That is one of the bravest decisions I've ever known in football, was having broken that Huey Gallagher milestone. Keegan was brave enough to actually sell him to Manchester United and tell fans standing on the steps out of St. James's Park, believe in me, I will buy somebody that can take us to the next step. And he bought Les Ferdinand and Alan Shearer, who I'm not suggesting were better than Andy Cole, but they weren't at all bad, were they? So that was one of the bravest decisions I've ever known be made, was to be willing to do. We talk now, guys, about sacrificing a big name because of financial fair play, sacrificing a big name to be able to buy other players that'll step us that further on.
John,
this wasn't done, just to finish, Malcolm, this wasn't done for financial fair play, because there wasn't such a thing. But it was exactly the same thing. You were selling your biggest goal scorer with the belief that you would eventually improve the team even back when doing that. And of course, you've got to say that
eventually he did that. Yeah.
With Shearer, who's the biggest goal scorer in Newcastle's history. So quite amazing. But well done, Andy. It was terrific. I remember, just a funny aside, I remember the day Andy signed for Newcastle. We got in touch with Bristol City's club, and they'd been faffing about, and we made a take it or leave it offer. You know, we're not coming back. We've kept coming back. We're not going to come back anymore. This is the offer on the table. Accept it or we go away. And they accepted it, so that they then had to find Andy to tell him that they'd accepted a bid from Newcastle. He had to talk to us. And they went looking for him, and they couldn't, Bristol City did. And they went trawled all the way through town, and eventually found his car parked up, but couldn't see him. And they left a note under his windscreen wiper telling him to phone the football club because his transfer was on the go. And he was actually round the corner in a laundrette. He was a bachelor. He was in the laundrette watching his undies go round in the dryer at the time. Come out for Newcastle, and then ended up at Newcastle, who, for some reason, decided that it would benefit Andy Cole if he lived in Crook. So they got him a house, not in Newcastle, but in Crook, which I think he found it a tad difficult to settle.
It's a bit out in the wild, isn't it?
We did the same thing with Joe Willock, you know, where Steve Bruce decided he would go and live under a rock in North Northumberland or something to keep him away from nightclubs in Newcastle. And he was so lonely, poor little soul. His form just disappeared. But he's back in the fold now, etc. But funny old stories, but Andy was a lovely man, is still a lovely man, and good for him. I mean, he wasn't just a one-season guy at Newcastle. Look what he did for Manchester United in terms of scoring a pile of goals.
Yeah.
He scored and that's the main reason he's got in the Hall of Fame. Newcastle come into it, but his record at Manchester United was phenomenal. Mm.
Wasn't it just, mind, what a phenomenal side it was that he joined.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's one thing in the interview that I did with him this week where he pays respect to the team that he joined, you know, that in his words, the work was already done. Don't forget this guy, though, lads.
Now, when You see
why
that?
Why do you want to upset people?
Chris Wood, man. Honestly, just check his records out, lads. Check his record out.
His record is phenomenal. I mean, Andy Cole scored more in 3 minutes for Newcastle United than he scored in 3 years in the Premier League with Newcastle United. Mind he scored a lot of goals at St James's Park for Nottingham Forest.
He did. He did well. The boy did well. Stephen Kennedy says, does it worry Mal and John that Howe can't seem to see what's happening in front of him at times? He always reacts too late. Is it a weakness in his armour or is he pip-headed in his beliefs and his ways? That's an interesting way of putting it, pip-headed. Is he stubborn? Is he stubborn, Mal? Do you think he's a bit stubborn, or does sometimes is it difficult to see what's in front of you? I guess I see where Stephen's coming from with it. I guess.
Yeah, I think he's just one of those sort of deep thinkers that that mulls it over an awful lot, and then comes to a decision, and from there, if the decision is to make a change, then he'll make the change. But he doesn't rush into things. I don't think I've ever seen him, witnessed him at all rushing into things. He gives it a great deal of thought in all that he does, and perhaps it's not such a bad thing that he does that. I think the players appreciate it. I've not seen him make. I've not seen him. There's one thing that does surprise me about him, and that is that on the sidelines, when a game's in progress, you never see him communicating with anybody on the pitch. All he ever does is just write a little note for half time or full time or whenever, but he's never. Issuing instructions from the sideline. The only time that he actually takes part in the game is when he makes substitutions, really.
I mean, you can tell why players love him, because once he believes in you, his loyalty goes absolutely the whole way. I mean, whether it's Dan Byrne at left back, whether it's getting Murphy in the team at right back, right side, wing back, or... Mm-hmm. On the wing, if you become an Eddie Howe player, he will be loyal to you come hell or high water, and that's why players love him. But I think the players let him down last night. I think the player, you know, we talk about Eddie Howe, and we always talk about managers, but those players last night have got to look at themselves, not on whether they've got enough ability or not, but can they look in the mirror and say, I gave 110% last night. My attitude was absolutely spot on. Because your attitude ought to be spot on. Your form may not be. You can't play well every game. But you shouldn't be questioned for attitude. I've questioned attitude last night. I'm not talking about individuals because it would be unfair to do that. But you would know looking at it, it was most of them. I don't think the attitude was great last night.
No,
and
it wasn't.
Door the manager that, because he's been loyal to them, mate.
I was thinking about...
Is that your pacemaker going there, Steve?
No, it's not mine. It's not my phone.
It's mine.
Well, I think we had John's before. Now we've got Malcolm's.
Yeah. I was thinking in earlier conversations that we've had today, that there was one time when I was playing with Arsenal, and we had two or three poor games, poor results, and on the Friday team talk prior to the next game on the Saturday, Don Howard's come in, and usually he would talk about the game the following day and the setup, what the side was, and all the tactics, etc. He came in, and I kid you not, for a solid hour, he stood in front of me and bollocked me ripped my game apart. He tore the backside off me. It was absolutely painful for others to watch. I could see them grimacing. And every time I went to say something in response to what he was saying, he'd say, "Shut it, I am speaking." And shut up I did. And at the end of this hour, he just said, "Right, see you all tomorrow," and walked out the door. And he had never said a word about the game the following day. And I went out. I was absolutely seething because I thought that he could have at least let me have my say. And so we got in there the next day, and Don Howe was in there, and I just ignored him. And I went over, and I got myself changed, and off we went out. We were playing West Bromwich Albion, and I was absolutely mad to the point where I was knocking West Bromwich Albion players all over the place out. And I finished up, I scored a hat trick, and we beat them 4-0. And as I was coming off the pitch at the end of the game, Don Howe was stood by one of the dugouts. And I said, "Well, you know where you can stick that, where the sun don't shine, pal." And I just walked past and got into the dressing room. And he came over and he said, "Can I have a word in my room?" So I went with him, and I thought I was going to get another bollock in him for what I'd said to him. And he just said, "You're absolutely right to react like that," he said. "But I got not just the reaction from you out there," he said, "by picking on you," he said, "the support you got from all the players out there today, we were brilliant as a team." He said, "We played brilliantly the whole game. Everybody was in it together." He said, "And so," he said, "I looked yesterday at picking on somebody who could actually take it and respond." He said, "And all the others, they went with you. And they got out there and they really gave of their best today." He said, "So," he said, "it worked. My plan worked perfectly." He said, "And if you expect an apology from me," he said, "you've got no chance. No chance at all." He said, "My plan worked perfectly. And if you don't like it, tough. We got the right result."
And reverse psychology.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it's a way of going about it. And this is what Eddie Howe has got to find. Because after a performance like that, like last night, he's got to find the right way of getting everybody G'd up, organized, and really ready for the fight of their lives. And if he does that in half as well as Don Howe was able to do it, I feel sorry for Sheffield Wednesday.
Do you agree, John?
I feel grateful for Sheffield Wednesday because we need them after.
No, Sheffield United. Sheffield United. Sorry. Sheffield United. Did I say Wednesday? Sheffield United. Yeah, but
I was just going to say, do you agree, John, with what Malcolm's saying there? You know, it's the question, original question from the person in the chat was, you know, does Eddie sometimes, you know, not see what's in front of him? Because we sometimes are crying out for a change, or, you know, take that player off, he's underperforming. Does sometimes, I guess every manager can be blinded sometimes by his own selection, Gibble.
I think that's very true. And of course, the book always stops with the manager, so he's always going to take the criticism. And I know where the guy's coming from and what a lot of supporters say, because if we do make changes, more often than not, the like for like. We take a wide player off and put a wide player on.
Yes.
We take a centre forward off now that Wilson's fit again, and we put a centre forward on. It's a, so we do like for like. We change a
sure. left back. Sure, never a change of tactics, is there?
No, we never shuffle the tactical formation or whatever. And you see, for me, we did the mistake Eddie made, and it's easy for me to say this because it's with hindsight, but when I got the team sheet last night, I actually felt like this. Because it worked against Spurs didn't mean the same back four or the same defensive setup, three centre-halves and a floating Jacob Murphy, would work again against Crystal Palace, because it's horses for courses. That was perfect for Spurs with the high line, the attacking intent, etc., etc. Palace weren't going to play with that high line. They weren't going to play the same way. Would we have been better to flatten it out and play in the way we normally play? Because Eddie has gone on record is saying he doesn't like three centre-halves. But he stuck with it because it worked so beautifully with Spurs. But I don't think Palace or Spurs. I think totally different sides. No, totally different.
And everything changes. You know, he did it at home against Spurs. This was Palace away from home.
So
you.
But I mean, as I said,
change from one venue to another.
And as you said, Malcolm, there, when you were talking about psychology and what Don Howe did and that, I mean, I mentioned earlier in this podcast, I think the most important thing this week is what Eddie Howe says every day in the training ground dressing room to the players, much more than what they do out on the training pitch. Because tactically, they ought to know what they're about. And if he says straight away, I'm going to a flat back four on Saturday, then you don't have to tell those players how to play in a flat back four. They've been doing that at Newcastle for three seasons now. So they know how. What you've got to do is get inside that head, make certain they're sharp, make certain their appetite's back, make certain they're not sitting back with a cigar out in a deck chair, and make certain they don't think that because it's Sheffield United, they've just got to run out and an hour and a half later, run back in, and the job's done. But they've got to get it right. It's only a sprint now. It's not even a 100-yard sprint, five games. Small sprint. We haven't got time. The real time to look in what's gone wrong and what's gone right and why we've lost 10 out of 16 away. No, that's the job for the summer, to put right for next season.
We haven't got time to do that now. What's actually at stake is European competitive football next season. Do you want it, Newcastle United players? Do you want to be playing in Europe? And if they don't, or if their attitude is giving you the feeling or impression that they don't, get them out. And it's a harsh game, and you've got to behave harshly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a difference as well between attracting some players and you know, some players coming to the club and some players not, Mal.
Without a shadow of doubt, because Wall's saying, you know, whether people want to sign for clubs that not in Europe, not just the Champions League, but Wall said, or a lot of people have said to me, Aston Villa are only fourth top because they're not in the Champions League. Wait until they're in the Champions League next season. We'll see how well they go with Champions League football and Premier League. But what we're forgetting is last season, we only had the Premier League to go for in the two domestic cups. But Aston Villa have been playing in Europe. They just haven't been playing this season. They haven't been playing the Champions League, but they've been playing in Europe. They've been playing three games a week. They've been playing every Thursday because they've been in the European competition. This season. So they've adopted to that and done that. All we're asking is to do the same as them next season. To play in the Premier League and play in a European competition that's not the Champions League. Aston Villa have done that this season and it hasn't stopped them being fourth top. So we've got to look to do the same. And you're quite right. You know, if if these players, I would be saying, if I was Eddie, I'd be saying, look, your reputation is on the line. You deserve to be remembered for turning Newcastle around, for making them a big club again, for the pride of getting them fourth top into the Champions League and in a League Cup final. If you don't qualify for Europe this season, you'll all be seen as one-hit wonders. Mm. You'll all be seen as, you did it for a season, but you couldn't do it again. You know, they've got to make Europe again this season, and then say, yes, well, we were fourth top.
Sure. And played the cup. John, I have to say that Tom Dixon is making a very good point, that if Newcastle get into Europe next season, it keeps the players a damn sight happier.
Of course, the good players, the good players that you want to stay.
But it's down to them in the first place to really satisfy themselves.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, in a team game, they need help. You know, it's a team game. Yeah. They can't do it on their own. That's the people around. But if we had to keep Bruno and Isak and Gordon and our big hitters, then we have got to be looking to be in Europe and looking that we are still making progress.
Yes, yes.
Because if we look as if we're stagnating, not only did the players like Bruno, Isak and Anthony Gordon, we've got to bring him into it, he's had a fabulous season. Not only do they become a bit depressed, but other clubs think, wait a minute, Newcastle haven't made Europe. Isak will be sick, Bruno will be sick, Anthony Gordon will be sick. Why don't we have a little dip at them and see if we can get them? And you know, the temptation, we are making a rod for our own back if we don't get into Europe. We have to get into Europe so that we can say this season has been ruined by injuries, but we've still survived, finished in the top six, made Europe and got in the quarterfinals of the two domestic cups. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? But no. if we don't make anything, it sounds rotten.
Absolutely.
So the next game, Saturday, 3:00 against Sheffield United. John, we've already spoken a little bit about it. How do you see the game going at the weekend, mate?
Yeah. Well, I'm very, very grateful to Sheffield United. I love them to death. If they want to sleep in my house on the Friday night, they can, because I'll put them up and then I'll keep them awake all night by playing records. But honestly, I mean, you've got to beat this. For goodness sake, you've got to beat this side. I mean, I used to be in charge of Gateshead, and I would have backed my Gateshead side to beat Sheffield United. I mean, they are officially now, having let in 92 goals, they're the worst Premier League side there's been. They've won 3 out of 34. I mean, you know, we've got to beat Sheffield United. If we don't beat Sheffield United, we're to cancel the next 4 games and just say, we've stacked our hand, we've done a Devon lock, we're not going to bother. I can't see we're not beating this lot. I'll reiterate it again. 2 facts. They've let in the most goals and they've scored the least. So we win 4-0. Michael.
Okay. I am going for a 3-1. I'm going for a 3-1 win at the weekend. What about you, Mal?
Okay. I'm going 3-0. I would hope that we keep a clean sheet.
I think Sheffield United will be thrilled to bits with Steve, because Steve's given them a goal and they haven't scored many this season. So I think they'll be pleased with Steve. I'm not certain if he's done them a huge favour or insulted us, because we can even let goals in against Sheffield United. I'm not quite certain which way that works, but we've all agreed on a win. And, you know, we've had a bit of fun about how bad Sheffield United are. But the truth of the matter is they are poor Premier League side. Yeah. Of course they are. Stats like that don't lie. And if we don't beat them, then we don't deserve to be in Europe. I mean, if we don't beat them, we don't deserve to be in the Premier League. But we don't deserve to be in Europe. So everything rests on us. I just think it's a terrific match to come back from. But when we do win 4-0, if we win 4-0, my prediction, I'm not going to next week be talking about everything sweet and light now. We'll go down to Burnley and score 6, and then we'll win our away games with Man U and Brentford and we're in Europe, et cetera, et cetera. This ought to be a routine victory, but it's necessary and it can help morale. And, I mean, Let's remember, even with that defeat last night, we've taken 10 points out the last 15, including that defeat last night. So if that's not good enough to beat Sheffield United, I don't know what is.
Yeah, let's hope it's not a Derby situation. Lots of people pointing out that when Derby went down, they did take maximum, like the record amount of points that they took that season were against Newcastle. So let's hope it's not a repeat of that.
Yeah, embarrassing.
Yeah, well, us Geordies like poking ourselves in the eye with a stick, don't we?
We're very generous.
Indeed.
Don't forget, you can see John with John Anderson at the Irish Club, 1 o'clock, free entry on Saturday. Look forward to seeing you then. Guys, catch up with you next week. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Indeed. Enjoy the game on the weekend.
I hope so.